WoW Killer is a production of amove.tv. Check out amove.tv for many more podcasts, multiple about Blizzard games. And for more of Taliesin's WoW coverage, check out Taliesin and Evitel on YouTube and Twitch.tv. We're back killing WoW one podcast at a time. Welcome back, everybody, to WoW Killer. I'm Garrett, joined as always by Taliesin, who is not surprising me with an undisclosed top of the show joke and or gag.
It wouldn't be a surprise if I did it again this week, would it? You were expecting it. You were on tenterhooks. You were on edge, I could tell, all the way through the intro that these people listening to the podcast for the first time haven't heard. You were on edge. I could tell. You were like, what? How is Taliesin going to dick up my intro this time?
This time, I
let you dick it up yourself.
I was actually looking at my second monitor where you are sitting, being screen captured for the live video audience, wondering... Or looking at you like, is he rolling off with his chair again to do that thing where he slides in every once in a while and surprises me?
I didn't know. But I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad that everyone else is here, because we've got something very important to tell everyone on the podcast today. And that is the subject of today's podcast. It's incredibly important that you know this. And it's essentially WoW's next expansion.
Oh, is
will
that
be revealed?
Is that our YouTube clickbait headline
today? Say again.
Is that our clickbait YouTube headline?
Our title. WoW after Shadow. Because I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Taliesin, we know what WoW's next expansion is. It's Shadowlands. You were there at the announcement, just like I was. That's not news at this point. But no. I'm talking about 10.0 after Shadowlands.
That's so 2020 of you. What are you doing? Get on our level. Get on 2023 or whatever.
Yeah.
Later date.
Well, 2022, I hope, if we're honest.
Well, it is Blizzard and it is World of Warcraft.
Exactly. And we're going to be talking about the expansion after Shadowlands. And that's not some idiot subject that we've plucked out of thin air. This was inspired by a question that we didn't quite get to in our mailbox episode last week. And when I say didn't quite get to, I mean purposely didn't get to, because we thought we could base a whole episode around its fascinating concept instead, which is what we're doing. So today on this show, live through the power of speculation, we will tell you what the next expansion for WoW is, and then we'll kill it.
Yes, we'll probably kill it through this discussion of what will definitely be a collection of theories rather than one singular belief or fact about what the next expansion is.
You say that, okay, but I feel like, I should clarify for people who aren't aware of who I am and what my history is. It's worth noting that, you know, sometime before the BFA announcement, before BFA had even been released, even been revealed, and no one knew what it was, as we were approaching BlizzCon 2017, whatever it was 2017, I made a video where I correctly predicted pretty much everything in the BFA expansion. Pretty much everything, from story beats to main characters to island expeditions to baddies, to everything.
You got everything
and
right.
Everyone's not Taliesin one... knows his stuff. There's a man that knows his onions. I can't wait to hear what he's got to predict for the next expansion. And I got some of that wrong, so we don't talk about that one. And we always think about in 2017 when I predicted everything.
All of it.
Which means I'm clever.
All of it. So what is the next expansion? Actually, let me tee this up for you and give credit to the lovely writers in of wildkillercast@gmail.com, which is where you can send your emails and be a part of the show. So last week, Taliesin, we did our June mailbag episode, and I noticed I just noticed a pair of emails that were very similar in theme. I was going to say a trend, but is it a trend if it's just twice? I noticed two emails that were very similar in theme. Rockwood on Ursin and the Warlock Mablang both wrote in about what's next? What's after Shadowlands? Basically, they both said something to the effect of, are there any continents left to find? Was kind of their thoughts. What the hell is going to be after Shadowlands? Where are we going to be going? what is there even left to uncover? What's even left on the map? What conveniently forgotten massive continent island is still left to run a boat into?
And well, I mean, I think if Shadowlands proves anything, it's that there isn't one and we're done. We're done with like Azeroth and discovering new land masses on Azeroth. I feel like BFA kind of blew its load with that when we had to discover two new islands.
Wow, that
three,
was a...
if you count Nashutar.
That was a Scott Johnson choice of words right there.
Blowing his load.
Yes.
I haven't... What?
Just sorry. I don't know if you listen to the instance, but Scott makes a lot of unintentional innuendo.
I don't think it's unintentional.
Allow me to bruise the bridge of my nose by pushing up my nerd glasses on the actual comment you were making, though, of you would think with Shadowlands, that's an admission that they're out of islands. But need I remind you, Taliesin, that the first ever expansion in the history of World of Warcraft was let's go to space.
Yeah, like, exactly. And do you know why they said that? Because they were like, it would be stupid if we just started adding islands onto Azeroth the entire time. Look, we've got our Azeroth map. That's good. No one's going to believe it if we just whack a northern continent up there in the middle of everything.
Even though we know a northern continent up there exists.
Yeah, exactly. So we're just going to have to go to space instead. And so be it. This game will probably be dead after this expansion anyway, because no MMOs last that long. It's going to be fine. And they kind of got themselves in trouble. So I kind of think that with BFA, you know, going all out and giving us two new continents to explore and Nashutar as well, and Mechagon, which was kind of like a meta comment on the way the islands appear in World of Warcraft generally. It kind of took it to the hilarious extreme whereby everyone was like, where's Mechagon? Have you ever heard of Mechagon? I've heard of Mechagon, but I don't know where it is. Where could it possibly be? Where is this mysterious island that no one's ever... We've heard about it. We've heard legends about it, but we have no idea where it is. No one's ever been able to work out where Mechagon is. I don't know where it is. Maybe we could follow the clues and find... Oh, there it is. It's like literally within sight of Kul Tiras. Like you can stand on this beach in Kul Tiras where we've already been and you can literally see it.
And it looks like someone forgot to art direct it.
I found it. I found Mechagon. It's just here.
We'll never run out of new zones.
Now, it's over here.
We'll never run out of new zones if they just style it like Mechagon, which is to say not style it at all.
So I don't think Mechagon really counts. Mechagon's more like a time missile sort of thing. But I think Nashutar counts. So the excuse for Nashutar was it was underwater the whole time.
It was underwater. And we have no ability to go underwater. We've never spent extended periods of time in vast locations under the ocean. We've never had that. There's been no impotence for that whatsoever.
You're bad. You're naughty. But what the interesting thing about Nashutar is, maybe the only interesting thing about is that they declined to place Nashutar on the map. Don't forget. You can't tell me where Nashutar is. Or like you can't look at the World of Warcraft map and tell me where Nashutar is because it doesn't appear on any in-game map. It's like a separate thing that you click on, like Outland, and you can only click on it from Kul Tiras or Zandalar maps, but it's not on the world map.
Sidebar about just game design and the trappings thereof. I like that WoW just decided to start tacking islands on because... I don't like sticking to weird arbitrary beliefs, even if it would be good for the game just break from that arbitrary stance. And listen, there are other games like Destiny where you go to whole planets like Earth and the game basically tells you there's just one little section of Earth, nothing else to see here, folks. I know you might be wondering what's going on in literally any other corner of the planet you actually live on. And have a frame of reference for, but here's just one little section about half the size of a Halo level. So enjoy, everybody. So, you know, I'll take World of Warcraft's way of, oh, we bumped into a new island. There it is. Would you look at it? Would you
totally.
Look at it in all splendor?
You know what else did that kind of way of working really well, where like maps were made and like they had land masses on and then, you know, later on other land masses were added to those maps and we were supposed to believe those land masses had been there all along. You know what else did that really well? Human history. Like, you look at a map from Europe in the Middle Ages, and there's a lot of land not on that map. And then suddenly a whole load of land masses get added to those maps. And you're like, what? I'm supposed to believe those land masses were there all along? I'm supposed to believe that you've gone 1,500 years or whatever of, like, you know, decent, like, civilization, and you haven't drawn any, like, these things were never on the map, and now you're all like, oh, it was there all along, we just only just discovered it. Yeah, right, whatever. Don't believe it. I don't believe it.
Well, I mean,
there are conveniently people already there and other civilizations already there. Well, but we didn't have them on our maps. You expect me to believe that?
Now chat room is debating, is claiming Australia is a hoax, and we are now in the presence of the Flat Azerothers.
Australia's not a hoax. It definitely, I've been to Essex in the summer. That's basically what Australia is, right?
Listen, we here on Wow Killer believe in representation and giving credence to every voice except for Flat Azerothers. We think you're crazy and you have no place here.
Are there Flat Azerothers? Is that a genuine thing? I mean, I've never seen the curve, put it that way. I've been up pretty high. I mean, I've been as high as I can possibly go in Wow before the ceiling stops me, and I never saw no curve.
So I never saw the end of the fog. No matter how I crank up my draw distance, there's always fog. So after Shadowlands, I mean, Rockwood, who wrote in, mentioned things like really kept referencing Cataclysm as kind of this time where we got to see a lot of additions to the map that we knew were there, but never got to see, like in original vanilla World of Warcraft, things like Hyjal that you could glitch your way into. I remember staying up very late one night trying to find the right pixel to get my character into Hyjal back in the Burning Crusade days. And also things like Uldum, which I also remember walking up to a big gate in Teneris.
On Chris Metzen's first drawn map of Azeroth for World of Warcraft, Najatar was there. Famously for Vanilla, they had started working on not just the Dragon Isles, but also a whole Emerald Dream zone as well, which was massive and was barely filled with anything before they kind of kicked it to the curb. But
Of the Emerald Dream as a whole, barely filled with anything?
Yeah, pretty much. And I know when people keep talking about an Emerald Dream expansion, they get really excited about that, but I've always thought that was a really boring idea for an expansion, to be honest. I don't care.
I was completely on, like, I was not stepping on, there wasn't one leg on. I was fully on up as far in a seated position on the Emerald Dream bandwagon as I could be before Burning Crusade got announced, because it was very much the rage, expectation theory of where World of Warcraft would go next, and me being the plucky little night elf lover that I was just like, yeah, we're clearly going there. There's all these portals with dragons in front of them and nothing else. There's clearly they're gonna do something with this. We're gonna go to the Emerald Dream, guys.
Good logic, yeah. And like, that had been the plan, you know, that was definitely going to happen. And I think all of that dragon stuff is really well realized in Vanilla WoW, in fairness. Like, you have to dig into it a little bit.
But, yeah, the possibilities were seemingly endless about what the hell more WoW content would even look like. I mean,
yeah,
there was a time, if you can remember, folks, back in my day, just pull up a chair on my porch as I sit here in my World of Warcraft rocking chair and spin you a yarn about a time where we weren't quite sure we would ever go past level 60, let alone go so far past it that we come back to it.
Yeah, we went right around and came back again. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I knew Emerald Dream was going to come up on this discussion. I don't like to call a shot. I never like to draw a line and say, like, this is where the game will jump the shark. And you know, WoW's jumped the shark a few times now. But I'm drawing a line at the Emerald Dream. If we ever go there, we are truly scraping the bottom of the barrel. Well,
I think Legion was the Emerald Dream expansion. You know, like, Legion had Val'Sharrar, which was a great little Emerald Dream type zone, and was supposed to be a mirror of the Emerald Dream. And then the creeping of the Emerald Nightmare in there, and going into the Emerald Nightmare raid, which, you know, you kind of cleansed, and you have that wonderful kind of like end section at the Emerald Nightmare raid where you are in the Emerald Dream, and it's just awesome and it's really cool. And like, you think, wow, the Emerald Dream's brilliant. I'm glad there's no quest to do here though. Let's go. Like, for me, yeah, that's the joy of the Emerald Dream, is just seeing it and being like, yeah, it's got all plants. There's loads of plants here. Awesome. It's just what I thought it was going to be. Right, let's go.
It's the opposite of Nyalotha, right? Because you go to Nyalotha and you think to yourself, boy, I would love to see more of this and spend more time here, preferably outside of a raid environment. But I'm completely with you on Emerald Nightmare, which is, this was fine. This was as much as I needed. This was the perfect amount.
Those plants. Wow. Oh, it's so, some of them are like in a swirly shape and some of them are straighter. Oh, it's brilliant.
And one of them is a big creepy tree with eyeballs.
Well, in fairness, okay, so that little segment at the end of the Emerald Nightmare Raid did have famously that awesome cave where you went into it. And if you were a Shadow Priest, there's a like little seedling in there, wasn't there?
Everyone get out your WoWKiller bingo cards.
Oh, so good.
Get ready and mark off the priest player on the show mentioning the cave at the end of the Emerald Nightmare Raid.
It was so good. It was so exciting. And that was like, you know, that was more than I ever expected.
This is my favorite thing about, this is why I love Legion so much, dude. You talk to any player, you talk to a player and of different classes, and their complete needle breaking off of excitement are from completely different sections of the game. Yours is clearly end of the Emerald Nightmare, whereas mine is just random bullshit questing because Arthas would pop up.
Yeah, that's also true. I heard you like Arthas. Have I got an expansion for you?
Somebody just yelled bingo. Somebody just yelled WoWKiller bingo, which actually is yelling.
I didn't know you liked Arthas. That's good. What was your favorite expansion? Don't answer.
I wonder. Legion. Probably Legion is, you know, if I really think about it. But
famously, WoW like surprised everyone by making the Burning Crusade their first expansion. And like, you know, Chris Metzen has talked at length how important it was for him to kind of throw a complete curveball for the first expansion, because he was very aware of how like generic WoW was, and how it had to be, and how purposeful that was, and how hard he'd worked to kind of add some kind of depth to the lore and things like that. And then he was like, you know, and everyone was expecting more of the same for the expansion. And it was really important to us that we put out something like super different, and that was literally like space. And we were like, what's no one going to expect in our Lord of the Rings style, like fantasy world? We're going to go to effing space. Let's do it. And we're going to go to this ruined world. And like, it was mind blowing. And it really captured like the imagination. It's probably an underrated, really important reason why WoW has the longevity it does, you know, because its first expansion was conceptually so out there and so engaging and so unexpected as well. It took its audience, which was the largest audience of its type, and it said, okay, you love this game, come with us. And it did something really different, and it you know, conceptually at least.
I really do believe that WoW at its best and its worst is just a rock opera. And that's Burning Crusade.
I mean, in fairness, they had worked on parts of Outland for Vanilla as well. Like, that's the thing. Like, Vanilla was, you know, this huge project. There was they built the Dragon Isles zone, they built parts of the Emerald Nightmare zone, but they had also built parts of Outland for Vanilla as well, which is still in those files. You can see where they went with that then to create Hellfire Peninsula and things like that. Looking at those original files is really interesting and really fascinating. And all these things where you go, I'm really glad they didn't give us that kind of small version of it, and I'm glad we got a whole expansion of it instead.
Yep.
But I do for like most other things.
So where do you think is like legitimately a possibility for us to go after we're done with the Shadowlands?
I'd like to set my stall out and say I've got nothing wrong with just adding islands forever. Like, I'm absolutely fine with that. Like I say, it's what we did in the world in human history. And I see no problem with it being a way of doing expansions from now on. In fact, one of the things I really liked about BFA was like how little of a shit they gave about even explaining it. Because before then, you'd always had some like kind of concept of why we'd never been to this island before. You know, like Northrend was like surrounded by ice, and then Pandaria was like enshrouded in mist, and how were we supposed to know it was there? Oh, and the Broken Isles, they were underwater, but they were raised like a century ago, but you know, we just never got around to it. And with Kul'Tiras and Zandalar, they just went, oh, it's Kul'Tiras and Zandalar, and everyone knows where they are, but we just couldn't be bothered going there before. So
they're not major players on the world stage.
Family issues, the Zandalari trolls are a bit mean. So the Broken Isles were people asking in the chat, the Broken Isles were indeed raised. Yes, they were. In fact, I think it was Gul'dan that raised them in Warcraft 2. I might have to check my history on that one. But facts, mate. Or maybe they came up and I don't know, who knows. But since Cataclysm, you don't need to explain any of this stuff. You can just go, yeah, it was under the water and we couldn't find it. And then Cataclysm happened and, oh, wow, what? It's here now. Amazing. Amazing. Brilliant.
Yeah, Charum's saying they believe it was retconned to only be the Tomb of Sargeras that was raised, which I think I remember something about that at some point.
I don't need no good excuse. You can just say the Cataclysm did it. I don't care. It's absolutely fine. Just like just say, look, there's an island and we always thought it looked a bit rubbish and we never bothered. But now there's like some magic ore there that we need to go get. So go get it, hero. Like, that's all we need to do. Who cares? That's what they're going to do with the Dragon Isles and stuff like that. So yeah, one day they're going to add the Dragon Isles, right? Yeah. And everyone thinks Dragon Isles is full of dragons, even though it's an old God Isle. So I think we're going to have to wait.
I'm gonna build upon your I'm okay with islands with a really strong stance and say that I'm really okay with whatever they want to do. I like going to space. I like going to new realms, and I like going to islands we haven't had a reason to go to before or didn't know was there.
Now the reason Shadowlands is so exciting to me is because it's kind of unconnected to pretty much any of the lore that we've been exploring in WoW up to this point. You know, I know it like has connections back to Arthas and the Helm and the Lich King and the armor of like, is it a domination, the Helm of Domination.
I'm already in. You don't need to sell me, Talius, and I'm into this idea
and stuff like that. Yeah, and like I know it's got connections to that, but I mean, essentially, it's all new with like all new races and all new beings and all new planes of existence and maybe an all new kind of like timey-wimey, maybe time works differently there and stuff like that, which might have implications for 10.0 and the expansion afterwards. Who knows? Well, we know, and we're revealing it now through the power of speculation. And so that, for me, that's one of the major selling points of Shadowlands, is the fact that there are no real story threads to tie up. You know, like I always feel like WoD and Legion and BFA is something of a trilogy. If you look at the stories going through those expansions and how they kind of tie into each other. And from the second it was announced, Shadowlands always felt to me like a kind of a clean slate from all of that. It always felt like, cool, this is like a natural cutoff point. Like, you know, this is, we're snapping this chocolate bar in two different bits. And this is Shadowlands. It's like, you know, it will obviously tie into stuff on Azeroth and characters that we've been with. And I dare say it's going to tie into Titan lore and pre-Titan lore and things like that. But essentially, it's a chance for them to just invent a whole ton of new stuff like they did with Mists of Pandaria. And I know we talked about that on this podcast before, but like, I always feel like one of the reasons I think Mists of Pandaria is so well remembered now, when it wasn't so much at the time, was that going back and looking at it, it's just clear how much fun like everyone involved with that expansion was having. Like, it was just clear like how much every one of those devs, whether they be like designers or quest writers or composers or anything, you know, they would just really enjoyed being let off the leash and kind of having something that was kind of totally separate from what had been established as WoW stuff, like this completely new place with completely new aesthetic and, you know, a history they could essentially make up from scratch and stuff like that, and a whole new kind of life forms and things. And they had a really good time with it. And that kind of joy just like drips off that entire expansion, as much fun as they have with it. And I'm hoping to get something like that in Shadowlands, that kind of feel.
I would say I've already seen a decent amount of kind of that quality of fictional culture development.
Like, yeah,
in the alpha that I, you know, the little bit I played, as I mentioned, I kind of went in and tested a few things, and I'm like, I'm good. I don't need to go further. I will play the crap out of Torghast because it's just going to be this endless thing that I'm always doing. But I don't really want to spoil the questing experience for myself. But yeah, I mean, that's a part of that I really think has been a success in damn near every WoW expansion. Like, I think they all do new zones very well, that there's really cool redeeming qualities to damn near every leveling experience of every WoW expansion I've ever played. Even Draenor, the one I love the crap on and one everyone loves the crap on. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but I'm with you on Pandaria. That was one I was extremely skeptical of, and one that at the time I loved. Once I got there and saw what they had done, I was just like, wow, this is so unique and yet feels quintessentially Warcraft. Like, they made it work. It blended. It was so perfectly art directed and stylized, and I absolutely just loved it, and I still really enjoy it. But as to, you know, what the heck comes after Shadowlands, it's like I almost wonder, like, are we going to start to go into like a one on, one off, like one on Azeroth, one off Azeroth? No, well, like, I'm not joking.
Like, you have one on planet episode and then one on ship episode, and like they alternate, and that's how Star Trek works. I mean, and that's how WoW works from now on. I don't know. It could be.
It's how it's been going for a while, right? Because we went Miss on Azeroth to Draenor, off Azeroth, back to Broken Isles on Azeroth. Well, and then it was kind of to Argus, but it wasn't an expansion, but it was the finale of the expansion, and then, you know, back to Azeroth for Battle for Azeroth. Clearly, Legion and BFA back-to-back, you could make a very strong argument that's true, that they're both more or less on Azeroth, but...
Yeah, totally. But it was incredibly exciting to go to Argus at the end of Legion. Now, it could just be argued that one of the reasons that was so exciting was because it had been... kind of built up to throughout the expansion, and it was just a super exciting thing to happen anyway. But also, Legion was such a good expansion, and everyone was so on board. Like, I kind of feel like in Legion they could have thrown anything at us for that third act, and we'd have gone with it because we were all having so much fun, you know. But I think I remember how exciting it was to jump on the Vindicar and go up to Argus and see like this ancient Draenei civilization that we'd read about since like the beginning, or, you know, since they retconned it in BC. And to see those things and to see those kind of flashback kind of cutscenes and what have you, with Sargeras approaching like the Triumvirate and stuff like that. And the questing through there I thought was really fantastic. And I love the way it unlocked over like 3 weeks. It was just a really good experience. And something that I thought I would hate, which was space travel in World of Warcraft, because I was like that. I was like, space travel, you know, it's fine that it's happened. It's how the Draenei got here, and, you know, the orcs and stuff traveled through time and space to get here, but via a portal rather than the ship or anything like that. But, you know, and so, yeah, okay. And Sargeras is the other side of the universe, and is like pretty much all of the story of World of Warcraft is Sargeras trying to get to Azeroth because, I don't know, for some reason he can't just fly in space or whatever. And like, yeah, okay, I get it. So like, space travel has always been a big part of WoW, but we've never really engaged in it. We found ourselves on a different planet in WoD and BC, but that was through a portal. And there was like a time and space element to that. Whereas Legion was the first time we just like literally, I know we technically went through a port within Legion as well, but we just got on a big ass spaceship and we flew over there, and it felt like being in space, and it was awesome. And it was really cool. And like, there was loads of spacey stuff, and there were spaceships that had been there all the way through Legion. Like, you know, just spaceships appearing places. And maybe that kind of helped ease me into it. And the idea of space travel, the idea that you had those huge Legion ships appearing all the time. And I loved the way that, the Tomb of Sargeras raid ended with going up to kill Jaden's disco ship with Argus kind of in the background there and sort of being on his on his like craft. And it was great. And that kind of changed my mind about a few things of what I wouldn't mind seeing in future expansions, to be honest.
I mean, yeah, I had that experience just all the way back in BC, because it was another thing I was just... Much like Pandaria, where I was like, oh, we're going to freaking space? Like, I'm over here killing... I'm still fighting Firbolg as I try to finish getting to 60, and we're going to space. What the hell, what is going on here? And I just, I still remember the first time going through the Dark Portal and stepping out in the Hellfire Peninsula and seeing that ridiculous skybox of planets and nebula and just going, holy shit, this works. Like at the same level that I get to Pandaria and see a bamboo forest cranked up to over the top Warcraft 11 and go, wow, this works. They nailed it. That's where WoW has never really let me down, which I think is like now my thread for this episode, which is I like the way they design expansion continents. But I'm kind of, I guess where I was going with this, and now I'll just bluntly ask you, with the whole like one on one off kind of thing, we haven't had two expansions back to back that were predominantly off Azeroth. Do you think we will? Do you think after Shadowlands we're going somewhere else that isn't planet side Azeroth?
Yes, I do. Now, there are a number of ways that 10.0 could go. There are a number of like prominent theories out there already, and like common sense theories as well. And I feel like it's probably worth kind of just, you know, working our way through those really quickly. One that has been out there since the beginning of BFA, and maybe a few people were surprised that BFA didn't go there in one form or another, is, and we've mentioned it already on this show, the Dragon Isles. Another one of those places that people always talk about because it's been mentioned and they've heard of it and they know that it was supposed to be in vanilla, but that people don't really understand what it is, and there isn't pretty much any lore about it really, or anything. But it has now been mentioned by Rathian in BFA. So, you know, the seed has been planted officially in game for the first time in BFA. Someone mentioned the Dragon Isles, and no one had ever done that before. No character in the game had ever actually mentioned it out loud. It was always something that was in the files. It was always something that people talked about. I think people get excited about the Dragon Isles because they think it's full of dragons. Because why wouldn't you think it's full of dragons? It's called the Dragon Isles. Sounds awesome. Sounds like isles full of dragons. And that sounds incredibly exciting. And there's no reason why it wouldn't be that if it was ever put in the game. But it's also worth remembering that that wasn't its original conception at all. Like, the original conception of the Dragon Isles was that it was it was like Rylai from Call of Cthulhu. It was islands which were temples to the old gods, just like Rylai. You know, and that's what they were. They were where the old gods probably dwelled, was probably part of the original conception, like Rylai. That was the idea. And the very famous kind of building that existed on the files of the Dragon Isles that never made it to the game was the big kind of sea creature kind of structure, which looked more than a little Cthulhu-like and had like the kind of shell and the tentacles. A structure that we then saw pretty much replicated in Stormsong Valley and the Shrine of Storms. Like that kind of squid-like kind of structure with the tentacles.
The original concept art looks like a giant Ammonite Pokemon. Like, a temple that looks like Ammonite.
Yeah, totally. And that's like a very clear reference to the original structure that was on the vanilla Dragon Isles that never made it. And to me, that was always kind of explicitly saying the original conception of the Dragon Isles is no longer relevant. Here is that building from the original conception of the Dragon Isles. Like that, for me, them having that in Stormsong Valley and that being, it turned out, a temple to the old gods and to old god worship and Azoth worship. That to me was them freeing themselves of like the old concept for Dragon Isles, which is why I think if we ever did get Dragon Isles in the game, it would be a lot more, because apart from anything, they don't want more islands full of like old god stuff, because I think whereas we're not done with the void in World of Warcraft, I'm pretty sure we're kind of done with the old gods now.
I want to be a foil to your point there, just a tad, but I do agree with you. Like my gut is like, you're right. I think we're done with them for a bit. I don't think we're going to go back to old gods anytime soon. We've seen Nyalotha. How could they one up that anytime soon? I mean, make it an actual zone. But like in reality, at the same time, the Shrine of Storm, one of my favorite concepts in this entire expansion. I love that design. I was so stoked the first time I saw it, as much as I hate that dungeon. But going out to that, like that corner of the zone before you ever even step foot in the dungeon, like super cool. That being said, like they have definitely retreaded, you know, aesthetics before. And we're about to retread it again with like the Necrolords in Shadowlands. Yeah. I mean, that is an aesthetic. We've seen how many damn necropolises have we fought through in World of Warcraft? And it's another reason I'm like so stoked on Shadowlands, is because taking a quick peek in there at Maldraxxus, that was a zone that, and you know me, Tally, edgelord of all edgelords. I love it. I love it. I'm here for it.
Yeah,
That was the zone I was kind of like, I've seen this before. I'm not that excited for it. And then I, you know, longed in, took a quick peek at it, and I was like, oh, this is so cool. This is so cool looking. They've actually found a way to freshen it up, to push it even further. And I think they could still do the same thing if they wanted to just do a whole continent of ridiculous, over-the-top, cranked-up old god temples. I believe that they could. Do I think we're going to do it right after Shadowlands? Probably not.
No. And like, you know, I feel like had we not defeated N'Zoth at the end of BFA, then the way to get there would be so much clearer as well. Because like, you could have, I was one of those people that thought that it was quite likely that BFA would finish with maybe a fight against N'Zoth, but maybe it would like end in all four of the old gods coming back in some form. And how great would that
be? I really thought that. Yeah, thought that
too.
Yeah, how
amazing would that be for Dragon Isles expansion? For like, where, you know, because all four of those old gods, yeah, they're old gods, so they've got like old god stuff. Okay, so like N'Zoth might not be dead, but he is definitely defeated right now. And like, you know, that gives you, you know, your four different Dragon Isles or whatever under very different aesthetics for each old god and things like that, much like the Chaos Gods, I guess you could give us what the old gods are as much based on as anything else from Warhammer. And like, you know, you could have those different themes which you want from kind of leveling zones and things like that. You could totally do that. And I see why they didn't want to after having places like Stormsong Valley. And I feel like that moment has kind of passed. It'd be really difficult to find your way back there now. Particularly because I think like the whole light versus void thing is being built up so much. And when you get to a certain level of the light versus void conflict, old gods kind of just cease to be important. And that's something we kind of forget about. In the grand scheme of things, like old gods aren't very important at all. You know, they are in void society and in void kind of god power structures, they are peons, you know, they are pawns. They are like something so unimportant. They're just like these mounds of flesh or whatever that were just hurtled into our reality.
They kind of describe like a void lord essentially flicking a booger onto our planet. Like
they were like, okay, we're just going to fling like gamillions of you into this reality that we want to eat. Let us know if you land on a planet. And let us know if that that planet happens to be a Titan world soul. And like, you know, good luck creating a void Titan. That'd be lush. That'd be really good. See ya. Bye. And just fling you out into the universe. So like they're nothing in terms of void god society. I think that there was a time to have a full old god expansion. And I think we've kind of missed that time. And I'd be very surprised. I don't think we've seen the last of the old gods, but a full old god expansion, I kind of think wouldn't be possible now. Now that you've got characters like Xalatath, you know, now that you're kind of pushing the light as not the quite benevolent force that, you know, many would have assumed it was. Now you're pushing that quite hard. I feel like the time for the old gods as a full expansion, all-encompassing threat is probably gone. And I think we discussed this last episode. I think BFA was meant to be that expansion, you know, and it just wasn't properly realized because the faction war got in the way. BFA was the Ashara Nazoth expansion. It just wasn't sold right, basically, and not kind of explored properly. And that'll always be a tragedy. Much as I enjoyed the Ashara and Nazoth stuff that we did get, it'll be a tragedy that is not remembered as the Nazoth expansion, which it should be.
Yeah.
You know, I'm certain that's the original concept.
And also something amusing I find of boiling your entire comment down to the real issue with BFA is a marketing problem.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, genuinely. And I think that affected the development of it as much as like our perception of it. You know, I think the bad way that BFA was marketed and not marketed properly as Nazoth being the baddie probably affected the way it was eventually developed as well. You know, the devs felt like they had to put more into the faction war thing than they really wanted to. And I feel like, I just go over, because I think it is relevant to this conversation, even though we said it last week as well. I'm certain that WOD and Legion and BFA were conceived together. And I'm certain when they were making WOD, they already had a plan for Legion and BFA. And I'm certain that BFA was planned to be like the climax of it with Nazoth and old god stuff. And by the time they started working on BFA, they already had a plan for Shadowlands, and they knew that they needed Sylvanas to be in a certain point, and they needed her to get there in time for Shadowlands. And they devised the faction war as a way to do that, but it completely derailed the Nazoth expansion for BFA. And that's a real shame to me. I don't think so. If the Dragon Isles do make an appearance, I don't think they will be the original concept of temples to the old gods, which is a shame because I've always wanted my proper Ryleth sort of old god temple stuff going on. Stormsong Valley is good enough, I guess, but I wanted it for a whole expansion. Fine, whatever. If the Dragon Isles do pop up, and I'm sure they will at one point, whether it be a whole expansion or not, I'm sure they will be what most people assume that they are, which is like full of dragons, like, this is where dragons originated from, proto dragons at the very least, because, you know, dragons were kind of influenced by the Titans and things like that. But, you know, I'm sure we'd have a proper explanation of that, and it would be really good. And I don't know. I mean, you could argue that's kind of what Kata was, but this would be more so. And yeah, who knows? But importantly, I don't think that's going to be 10.0.
Anything that gives us more proto drakes, I am down with.
Yeah. Well, yeah, maybe. But then I've got to be honest with you. I feel like BFA kind of scratched my dragon itch. Like, I like dragons. Dragons are cool, right? But I don't need them everywhere all the time. And
I don't really think about BFA as a dragon expansion.
No. And it definitely wasn't. But there were more dragons in it than, say, WOD. And I was like, cool, I got my dragon fix. I'm down with that. I like dragons. They're cool. But, maybe it's just because I still get a little Sunday evening, haven't done my homework, sick feeling in my tummy when I think of Cataclysm, which is my, you know, one of my least favorite expansions. And obviously that was all based around dragons and them giving up their immortality and stuff like that. And, you know, they didn't do that. But, you know, the time of dragons is over. Now it's the time of man. Oh, and orcs and night elves, and, yeah, in time of mortals, right. And like, yeah, it's fine.
So to me, it really, and something we've touched on the last few episodes, it has just come up. The game story really seems to be leaning towards, you know, the light and void.
Sure.
Clash.
So definitely. But the other thing that people are talking about a lot at the moment is based on one Ian Hazzikostas quote, which in an interview where he clarified that he had to speak to Steve D'Annunzio to get to the bottom of how time actually worked in Shadowlands, and that time does work differently in Shadowlands as to how it does in our realm of existence. And he said some words along the lines of, you know, and I wonder what implications that could have to us and our world when we come out the other side, which many people have taken to mean that coming out of Shadowlands and going into 10.0, we would have some kind of a time skip. So kind of like essentially a massive, massive, like whole world cataclysm style revamp. But not where the world was destroyed, but where the world has just moved on for a substantial period of time.
Oh, we're going to have flying cars, even though we already have flying ships.
Where we're going, we don't need roads.
We just come out and it's StarCraft. We finally get the StarCraft MMO.
Totally. And so that's got a lot of people theorizing that there will be a substantial, and you know, that people go back to that old comic that came out before Legion, which had a bit where you saw Anduin as a very old man, where Velen is like, you know, the light will triumph over the shadow this day, and it was like the final battle sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And he was in the Exodar. And the X-Star appeared to be operational and flying again, and you know, it was all like, yeah, rah. And maybe that could be a way of facilitating that. So that answers the, you know, would we add islands or anything to Azeroth question, in that, you know, if you go back to Azeroth and it's 200 years in the future or whatever, then it gives the developers a chance, as if they'd fucking want this chance. Sorry for my French. Pardon my French. Sorry. As if they would want this, it would give them a chance to completely redesign the entire old world. And you know, obviously they could play off references that we already know from the entire world, just like the Cataclysm and what have you. And it would give them a chance to revamp the entire world and move forward history so that you could have whole new characters and whole new people, but still kind of, you know, relate it back to the things that are happening in the world now. What do you think of that idea?
I think story-wise, a time skip makes a lot of sense and is very possible. And I find the next conclusion of let's revamp all of Azeroth again extremely unbelievable and something I don't think the team ever wants to do again. No. So I would imagine if we are dealing with the time skip, which I think is really likely, that it's going to be in conjunction with a new landmass to go play around in.
You think there will be a time skip?
I think it's really likely. Like, why mention that otherwise?
I can answer that question for you if you want. For me, it was a way of explaining the situation of characters already in the Shadowlands rather than explaining what might be happening on Azeroth. So, you know, you go to Shadowlands and you meet characters who died maybe 10 years ago, but some of them appear like they've only just died, or some of them appear like they died hundreds of years ago. And there's inconsistency in that already in the kind of the writing and the game. And like, I think it was just a way of saying, look, sometimes time moves faster in the Shadowlands. Sometimes it moves slower. It's timey-wimey. It's non-consistent. Like, time doesn't even really exist in the Shadowlands in that sense, because it's not our reality. It's a whole different kind of plane of reality. So yeah, you might meet some characters that only just died, but they feel like they've been there for millions of years. And you might meet characters that died millions of years ago, but we want them to think they've only just died because that's more interesting for the story that we're writing. And I think that the Ian saying that was explaining that rather than, ooh, what's Azeroth going to be like when we come out the other side? I think it was just like, hey, you know, when we meet Arthas and he can't remember being Arthas, that's why. You know, I think it was much more that kind of, and I don't think there will be a time skip. I think time will have passed when we come back from Shadowlands, because you'd expect it to. Because I think, like, canonically in Worlds of Draenor, we never left Draenor. We, the player characters, were stuck on Draenor for that whole 2 year or 1 year, however long it actually was in game time, frame of time. So yeah, time has, you know, obviously in game, we could half back to Stormwind whenever we wanted. And there were portals and we could go and go back to the old world. But canonically, our characters never did. That's why we had the garrisons and things like that. And we didn't get back to Azeroth until after Hellfire Citadel. Like, that's the story that was told. And I think it will be a similar thing with Shadowlands. Obviously, from a gameplay point of view, we will be able to go back to the old world and, you know, take part in things there and you know, do world quests and stuff if you want. But canonically, we are in Shadowlands for until they tell us that we're not, sort of thing. So there, it's quite likely that time will have passed by the time we get back. But that's not really a time skip. That's just like the joy of a perpetual universe in an MMO. It carries on and it moves
well,
on.
And what you're describing is something they've done with damn near every expansion. There's always sort of gap. Otherwise, where are they going to put the novel they're trying to sell?
Anduin went from being like a literal child model with a terrifying head standing in Stormwind throne room. And then one day when Mist started, he was like a teenager with a different model. Like, he'd got considerably older, like overnight in real terms. Cause one day he was the old model. And then the next day he was canonically a teenager. That wasn't a time skip. That was just representing how time passed in the universe. And that's not a time skip. That's just like, this has been happening, sort of thing. And I think that's what we'll end up with when we get back to Azeroth.
Just like Rathian and Valyr are getting weirdly sexy overnight.
Yeah.
Just like uncomfortably.
Just going to think about that for a second.
Yeah, just it's getting steamy in here.
Nice. Don't forget the Rathian still canonically is like 8 years old, okay? Like, he's got a wise head on those shoulders, but he's like 8 years old.
You always got to make it weird, Taliesin.
Not me that was talking about how sexy he was.
You always gotta make. Yeah, it's not you that definitely dedicated entire opening segments of other content you create to how sexy Rathian is.
It's definitely true. But I mean, like, yeah, so I don't think there's going to be a substantial time skip coming back from Shadowlands. I mean, for a start, you know, if time's completely inconsistent in Shadowlands, so I always thought it was more likely and more interesting from a storytelling point of view if actually we had the opposite of a time skip and if we had a time halt. And I always imagine how cool would it be if like the end of the pre-patch and the end of like the intro experience to Shadowlands, like where we make our way to the Shadowlands, because we know that the pre-patch is going to be like Scourge Invasions. And some other things we know now as well. And how cool would it be if we went to Ice Crown, because we'd literally be like pushed back to Ice Crown by the Scourge Invasions. And there's no way we could fight them. There's no way we could overpower them. They're just too powerful for us. And like, we're there and it's like the Broken Shore. There's like thousands and thousands of Scourge and like, there's nowhere we can go. There's this portal to Shadowlands behind us, or there's like being ripped to shreds by this huge army. How about we went into Shadowlands and like, time was essentially frozen on Azeroth while we were there, because time works so differently in the Shadowlands. And it's a bit like in Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, where they're at the gig at the end and they're like, oh no, we're rubbish at guitars. I know. And they jump in their time machine and they zap off and then they zap back and they're like much older and they've practiced their guitars loads and now they're really good at guitar and they give a really good gig. It could be like that. Like, all of our adventure in Shadowlands was based around the idea of us getting strong enough or like getting enough allies or whatever to then defeat that Scourge army that was about to kill us in that moment. And then at the very end of Shadowlands, we go back to that moment and time hasn't passed on Azeroth at all. But now we're much, much stronger and we've got like the whole of the Shadowlands at our back. And that's how we defeat the Scourge. And what if the last raid of Shadowlands was us going back to the end of the pre-patch to like try the fight again, but like much stronger?
And surprise, we've all built our own personal Helm of Dominations, and there's another artifact slash necklace analogy in this expansion.
What you want in a fight against the Scourge? A Helm of Domination rebuilt. Exactly. That's exactly what you'd want. Exactly. You get the idea. And I thought it'd be really cool. We know that that's not how the pre-patch and the intro goes, because
Shadowlands, building a better Lich King.
Yeah. Well, no, pretty much. Yeah. But we know that, like, that's not how it goes now. But I always thought that would be a really cool idea. If instead of having a time skip, it was literally a time freeze. And it was like, we're in the Shadowlands now. We can't go back to Azeroth because we're going to get ripped apart by those thousands of, time's not moving there at the moment. But we do now have this opportunity to build up our power, build up our strength, get the equipment we need to take on this Scourge army. And then that would be the final raid. I thought that'd be amazing, but Blizz never took any of my ideas. So screw him. Shadowlands can be rubbish.
So where do you actually think we're going after Shadowlands? You just answered how you think Shadowlands will end, but where do you think? What's that?
Where do you think we're going?
Something light and void, but I really don't know what form it takes.
Yeah, I think that's definitely. It's funny because, like, during WOD, they obviously built up to Legion, and you know there are lots of little hints about the coming Legion threat in WOD, and then obviously in the last patch of WOD, also the second patch of WOD. It's very explicitly like Legion-y, and that leads straight into the burning Legion invasion of Azeroth in Legion. Throughout Legion, there were loads of hints about N'Zoth and the Void, and Kul Tiras and Zandalar for that matter as well. And Jaina too, which set up BFA. And then in BFA, it was quite clear to everyone just playing through the first few leveling zones that death magic and the Shadowlands was going to be very important in the next expansion. I don't think anyone was really surprised to see Shadowlands happen as soon as it did. Already, and slight spoiler bot here, like slight spoilers for I'm not going to give away any like proper details or story details, and there aren't any to speak of anyway. But already in the early questing of Shadowlands, there are hints about the light versus void kind of intergalactic disco war. And specifically the intergalactic disco war side of that. Because, you know, light versus void has always existed in the WoW universe. Like, it's always been a thing. But it's usually been at a very Azerothian level, you know? And there are certainly hints in Shadowlands that are laying down the foundations, you could say, for the spread of that war out across the universe and our part in it. And you could say that even the first hints of that were laid in explicit terms, in ways that might find their way into the game, with Zalatath in BFA.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, if it's, to me, it goes back to like Illyria showing back up in Legion. That's when it really hit my radar. Even like it muddies it because it's Draenor, but like overly militant Urel.
Yeah,
like it's starting to be that hint of the light can go too far.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that, and that's why I think we're going there. But it still makes me think of the time skip, because if what is after Shadowlands is an expansion very much focused on the War of the Light and the Void, do you think it's an expansion focused on the War of the Light of the Void, like Burning Crusade, where we don't really reach a meaningful conclusion to the in BC, we didn't really reach a meaningful conclusion of the war against the Burning Legion. That didn't come until Legion.
Yeah,
we've already gotten that view into the future of old Anduin, right? Going off into the final battle. If we don't have a time skip, I don't think we're getting there in the expansion in the expansion following the Shadowlands. But if we do, then I think we do get there. I think we do get to that final confrontation.
I think it's worth mentioning, like, one of the reasons that Legion was so satisfying was because it did like put a bow on the whole Burning Legion idea. And one of the reasons it's so satisfying.
It was so satisfying because it was just just satisfying. Like at the end of the day,
satisfying. It had like the burning crusade is over. It was like a literal line that was set. And I believe it. Like, yeah, there's still demons and stuff out there, and there's still like implications because, you know, war is, it never just ends, does it? There's always like the cleanup, which takes.
Oh, absolutely. But in fiction and in these types of grandiose epic tales, there is an ending.
The important thing is that, you know, the Burning Crusade is over. We took the fight to the Legion and we defeated them on their homeworld and we took them apart systematically. Like, I always feel like people don't give Antorus and the raid in Antorus the credit that it deserves for the storytelling that was told in that raid, because like it shows you just through boss fights, it shows you systematically taking apart like the Legion's power structure. You know, it's like, oh, okay, so here's a fight against their generals. They don't have any generals anymore. Okay, it's like, how, you know, this is a fight over with the person that literally controls their portal network that connects all the different demon worlds to each other. We've taken that out now. So now all of those like Nathreza and like the spider world and stuff, they are all like isolated. They've had their communications cut off. Like they can't communicate with each other anymore. They're kind of like their own things. Like, they're like the Japanese soldiers on the island who didn't know that the war had finished. You know, they're kind of like those now. And it shows us taking those things apart. And then it shows us taking apart like the Legion's literal source of power that it was using to kind of help rebirth the demons super quick and things like that. Eventually it shows us kind of re-imprisoning Sargeras and really ending it. But like people don't give that raid enough credit for like how it showed us systematically taking apart the Legion and the Legion's power structure. And I thought it did a fantastic job at that. And people don't understand the story that was being told there very often. And it's because they weren't really paying attention. But
it's pretty broad compared to, you know, Nighthold. You can just be like, we killed Gul'dan. Yay.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah. but in fairness, like most of the storytelling for Nighthold was told before we got there in like the Suramar campaign, and that was really, really well done. And So you only really needed with Nighthold the satisfaction of just like smashing Gul'dan's skull.
Yeah. And kind of the difference between like very grandiose broad storytelling and very personal character-driven storytelling, that could be its own damn multi-arc series of episodes if we really wanted it to be. But sure. I mean, a lot of that it was lost on me in Antorus, like, because I'd fallen off reading at that point. And so I was just kind of very casually poking my head into Antorus. It wasn't this thing that I really grinded over and over and over and over again. But nonetheless, so are we in agreement here? Do we think like after Shadowlands, we're going light and void, but we don't really know what form it's going to take in terms of the ground we will be walking on?
Yeah, I don't think there'll be a substantial time skip. I think like, if you look at some spoilery stuff. So we know that in the build up, and this has happened before the intro experience happens in Shadowlands. Okay. But we know in the build up to the start of Shadowlands, sometime between 8.3 and then, Anduin and a handful of other key leaders get abducted by Sylvanas's minions and taken to the Shadowlands. So Anduin's the important one for this conversation, so that's the only one we need to mention. He's abducted. And part of the intro experience is rescuing him. And then unrescuing him again by mistake. But anyway, that means there is no king on the Stormwind throne. Who would you make king in Anduin's absence, Garrett?
Well, we talked about this last week, so I know you're eventually leading this up to Tyrallian.
Yeah, exactly. So we know from Datamine broadcast text that it's Tyrallian who is sitting on the throne of Stormwind and therefore the Alliance. And Tyrallian and Illyria are like a fascinating couple. Partly because of their like deep history within the franchise of World of Warcraft, and partly because of their recent history, whereby Tyrallian is full of light and Illyria is full of void, to the extent that they literally cannot touch each other. There's a bit in Thousand Years of War after Illyria has been kind of, you know, filled with voidy goodness, where they try to touch each other, and the force throws them to opposite sides of the room. You know, there's such a reaction. And that is, of course, how our reality in Warcraft lore was even created, when the light and the void, kind of where the light and the void overlapped and merged, created big bangs, like a force strong enough to create our universe was created essentially just from light and void touching each other. And so there's like a mini version of that when Tyrallian and Illaria touch each other, which always makes me think about discipline priests, like, who use the light and the void. Does that mean they can't touch themselves? Is that why they're called discipline priests? But like, light and void can't touch each other. Illaria and Tyrallian literally can't have a little smooch anymore, because they'll explode. And that's like, you can't tell me that wasn't set up with a kind of a future light versus void kind of war on the horizon. Like, you know, we've got this couple who love each other, and that is a super interesting dynamic to have in a light versus void future expansion. Like, they love each other. They have a son together, the true child of light and void. But they, you know, they are going to be on opposite sides in this coming conflict. And now, if you need any more setup for that, then now Tyrallian is sitting on the throne of the Alliance, on the throne of Stormwind, which gives him like a lot of power. And if there were a time skip and you were to come back to Stormwind and like the whole of the Eastern Kingdoms had been turned into some like light utopia or whatever, I use the term utopia very loosely, then sure. But again, you wouldn't even need a time skip for that to have happened, because by the time we get back from Shadowlands, Tyrallian would have been sitting on that throne for at least a year.
No weird timey-wimey bullshit from Shadowlands.
Like, you've got time for him to really establish himself and change things in Shadowlands. Yeah, you can make it easier by having a time skip and making it 100 years in the future or whatever. Like, Tyrallian would still be alive. Like, that dude is full of light. He'd still be there. But I think it'd be more interesting to have it just happen in real time. For me, that's always been one of the appeals of Warcraft and an MMO, is that stuff happens in real time, or something recognizable as real time. You know, they don't have to kind of create a WoW 2.
Yeah. Again, I'm not really pro or anti time skip. I think if it helps the story they want to tell, go for it. But also, it's pretty relative. So
the other thing is, the other hints there at where 10.0 might do that, and how they might do the light versus void thing, is in Maldraxxus. And I might have mentioned this before as well, but Maldraxxus is the army of the Shadowlands. Their job is, if you are noble and you know, honor filled and good at fighting and stuff, and you know, you care about that stuff, you get sent to Maldraxxus. That's your part of the Shadowlands. And you eventually, once you have found your place there and cast off your worldly burdens, you become part of their army. That's what Maldraxxus is. They're just like five houses which encompass different parts of being an army. And their job is essentially to defend the Shadowlands from outside threats, which exist in the form of the light and the void. We know from going around Maldraxxus, there are like gravestones of famous generals that we find from the Shadowlands past, and glorifying these generals who fought and fell against the light and against the void. So it kind of establishes that the Shadowlands as a realm and as a place has already had wars and battles and fights against the void and against the light. So we know it's something that is already happening out there in the cosmos somewhere, and something that crosses different realities. Because don't forget, the light is a different entire plane of existence to us. The void is a different plane of existence. They exist in different like realms completely. It was them merging together that created our realm. So like, by definition, they exist on a different plane. You know, there is a light realm somewhere and there is a void realm somewhere.
It's right. And at what point do we become the bridge between the two? Like an actual bridge? When does the barrier between those worlds break? Sure.
And traveling to and from, like, an idea and a seed that you can see being planted in Shadowlands already is this idea of picking your side. you know? And this idea of like, there are four covenants, you choose which one you want. They've already talked about having PvP between the covenants in PvP world quests in Shadowlands. So it wouldn't be Horde versus Alliance like we're used to. It would be Bastion versus Maldraxxus versus Revendreth versus Ardenweald, which is like a fascinating idea. So like PvP that you know, your faction is important. It's the covenant that you've chosen. So that idea is already getting explored in Shadowlands. And again, that would be something, the perfect thing to expand upon if you were to do a light versus void expansion, where maybe you would want to choose your side between the light and the void. And maybe there's like, and again, having two different leveling experiences and two different like end game experiences is something that was explored in BFA. Like, you know, the Kul'Tiras experience was very different from the Zandalar experience. These are all ideas that they've clearly been kind of looking at and kind of experimenting with and exploring, all of which would come together very, very nicely in a light versus void intergalactic disco war.
All that.
There's all that. And you know, what form would that take? I would like to see it take the form of planet hopping. I'd like to see it take the form of like spaceship going to different worlds and stuff, because I found that like incredibly exciting in Legion. And I think that feels so big and wonderful and new and exciting to me that and I was surprised that I liked it so much in Legion, but I really did. And I'd be well up for it taking that form. And, you know, in our little spaceship, we go to the light realm and we have a gay old time there, and we go to the void realm, and like there's no reason that, now my problem with that is the question that you asked before, which is how do you resolve that conflict? Like, how do you resolve it? And one of the great things about Legion was that we did resolve the Burning Crusade issue. One of the bad things about BFA was we did not really adequately resolve the faction war issue and the faction issue. I think a lot of people
felt. It felt very much a means to an end to just get Sylvanas where they wanted her. But like BC, I loved BC. It didn't matter to me that the threat of the Burning Legion still existed. Like, that didn't bother me at all. So I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing if we don't like end the war of the light and void at the end of a light and void expansion, because WoW doesn't show any signs of stopping anytime soon. We could revisit it multiple expansions later.
Sure.
Or
yeah, absolutely.
Or Nazoth it and a patch in a future expansion.
Exactly. And it could be a glimpse into that kind of world, and you could really see the power and threat and world consuming potential of the Void Lords and their kind of society. And we already have our perfect guide through that society in the form of Zalatath, who, you know, knows what's what and is like kind of a friendly face and could lead us through that. You could say that Alleria and Locust Walker could play those roles as well. And then you have like your light realm, and you have Naru everywhere. And you know, we already have lots of people that have strong connections to the Naru and relationships with them. So like, you know, the framework is just about there. And then you've got this incredibly like interesting relationship with Tyrallian and Alleria and Arator, who is kind of in the middle of that. You know, he is their child. And you know, what side would he choose and things like that, and don't forget his prophecy for the death of Tyrallian as well, that he tells you about when you first meet him in Burning Crusade. And like, there's all these things that could kind of play back into it. There's Titan stuff as well, although I've got to be honest, I'm okay without any Titan stuff for a while.
I feel very much the same way about Titans that I do about Old Gods. I think we really hit a crescendo at the end of Legion, and I think we just need some time away from Titan stuff. And we like opened up BFA with Titan stuff. We went into another Titan construct as our first raid, and then every damn time I need to go get a cape, another alt, guess what? I'm going through old ass Titan constructs. Like, I'm a little burnout.
There's already been talk in Shadowlands of the First Ones, which is a terrible name. But the First Ones being,
what a Destiny ass.
Yeah. Piece of, well, the implication of the First Ones were somehow involved in the creation of the Shadowlands, which would make them considerably older than the Titans. And whether they're like proto Titans or whether they're something else entirely, Anduin, when he looks at one of the first one waystones, he says, you know, I know a thing or two about Titans, but this was not made by Titans. This is like from a different hand, was his words. And so that's clearly going to be the thing that the expansion kind of climaxes on, I'd have thought, and the revelation in Shadowlands will be who the first ones were and their role in the cosmos. And Stephen Ouza said some really interesting things in our interview with him on our Twitch channel, where he was talking about how one of the things they're keen on doing in the future is exploring those different parts of the cosmology chart, like the famous cosmology chart, which is at the beginning of Chronicle, volume one, which shows like the different, you know, in a very simplified form, the different cosmologies of WoW and what that even is, and his implication that there was a Titan homeworld, which seems to be quite unintuitive and kind of go against what we assumed the Titans were. Like, they are worlds, right? They're born of worlds. So what does a Titan homeworld look like? The idea that they go somewhere else when they die. Like, Shadowlands is for mortals. So it's not where Naru go when they die. It's not where demons go when they die. It's not where Titans go when they die. It's not where Void Lords go when they die. It's like purely for us. But presumably there's like an equivalent for all of those cosmologies, you know? And like, so what is the Titan version of the Shadowlands? What is the Titan version of our reality in a way? And like, that's all super interesting and to be explored. And I think it is something we will explore. Something I just saw pop up in the comments, which I think it's important to bear in mind, is how people misunderstand the cosmology chart a little bit. And they think that if things are on different sides of the cosmology chart, then they're kind of anti each other. And I don't think anything is anti anything on the cosmology chart. Like, they have different relationships and different synergies, but I mean, you know, like, light and void are on opposite spectrums of the cosmology chart, but then discipline priests exist. You know, loads of things wield both the light and the void. They are just two forces to be utilized, you know? And like, Arcane might be a force of order, and be very kind of like easily utilized to order things, but it's literally described as a chaotic force on page zero of Chronicle, you know? So like, literally says, like, okay, so we've just shown you a cosmology chart where Arcane is the force of order, but then literally on page zero, before we even start, we're telling you that it's a chaotic force as well. So it's like, it's putting it all out there, and I feel like we try and pigeonhole those cosmologies a bit too much and bring too much into their positioning on the chart.
It's more open to interpretation.
Yeah, for sure.
And you're tapping into one of my big hopes for when we do get to the War of the Light and Void, which is, when, Taliesin, will I get my Shadow Discipline Paladin?
Honestly, next expansion, 10.0.
Yes, standalone class, yeah, not just a spec.
Why the heck not?
New class, Paladin.
They go with an idea that's been kicking around the community for a while now, which is class skins rather than kind of like this idea that, you know, a lightbound Draenei priest probably wouldn't ever have any void stuff going on. So wouldn't it be cool if lightbound Draenei had an option to just not have any void stuff going on, and their spells like didn't have any shadow magic in them, and they just looked different? Wouldn't that be cool? Like, we know that a Tauren paladin is very different from a human paladin. They literally kind of have different ethoses and stuff like that. Wouldn't it be cool if within classes, depending on your race or whatever, like, spell effects and spell names were different? It'd still be the exact same class.
It's something they experimented with paladins when they first came to the Horde.
Yeah. Yeah, and you could argue that they've done it with in a slightly different way with Warlock Greenfire and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think it would be really cool. And yeah, why not have like a fire paladin for Dark Iron Dwarves, or like a sun paladin for Taurens, or a void paladin for you know?
If that's how I can get it, I will take it. I do think like a void melee class from the ground up would be pretty freaking rad, but
yeah, it'd be awesome. I guess Death Knights use a lot of shadow magic and stuff, don't they? So you could make an argument for them. But I know what you're saying. I know what you're describing, and I think that'd be super.
They're
the Light versus Void expansion to bring that class into the game. You know. What would you call this expansion? Okay, let's imagine that our expansion has come to life and they took all of our ideas, including the Tuskar ones that I haven't even mentioned yet, and they put them all together into like the super Light versus Void intergalactic disco war. What would you call that expansion?
World of Warcraft Disciples.
Ooh! That's really good. That's actually really good.
Little Diablo-y, but...
Oh, Disciples. Oh, I like it.
It's what I would call it.
Maybe.
They're going to go very literal and just call it the War of the Light and Void.
Oh, no, I like Disciples. Yeah.
What would you call it?
World of Warcraft Infinity War.
Yeah, I don't see any legal issues there whatsoever. Enjoy that, marketing department. World of Warcraft Endgame. And the chat room goes wild. I'm trying to... Yeah. We'll probably get it wrong, whatever it is.
That does actually bring up an interesting idea. Like, and I know you said that it doesn't have to be resolved and things like that, but it does still beg the question. If you do have, and part of the reason Chronicle and Legion even happened was because they wanted to finish the Burning Crusade storyline and have that massive payoff that was totally worth it. And I think they made completely the right decision there. So part of the role of Legion and Chronicle in the lead up to Legion was to establish a bigger bad than the Burning Crusade. Because we always thought like Sargeras was the biggest bad in WoW and like the Burning Crusade was the biggest threat. And then the whole role of Chronicle and then Legion was to go, oh yeah, I know we said that Sargeras was the big bad, but we're going to beat him now. So you know why Sargeras is the big bad? You know what he was scared of? Like, turns out, the Void is the big bad. The Void's the thing that's going to, like, eat everything, okay? Like, oh, whoa, that's what we're setting up now. So, in a Light versus Void, like, disco war, assuming you get some kind of closure or anything, or, like, just get to an endpoint of the expansion, what can possibly come after that? What's 11.0? Wow, we're getting into full belly of our territory here. What's 11.0 now? You have the Light versus Void expansion. What would be 11.0?
I truly don't know. Something that's been in the back of my mind for a little bit, and it was mostly trying to think of anything positive to come out of the Draenor expansion, which I really think is just gonna ignore it and never go back to it. But the concept of something that we see in so much other fiction, which is just a full on reset or an like alternate history. Like it's just something that always bounces around my brain of like, does the team go, what if we just played with alternate history? Because it happens in comics all the time.
I'd hate it so much. I'd hate that for so many reasons. I'd hate it because I hate timey-wimey stuff, because WoD was timey-wimey stuff. And look how rubbish that was. Okay, it just never worked.
Yeah, I have extremely strong opinions that part, like that for me, like, the timey-wimeyness of it wasn't that what killed it for me. It was so one note. It was so extremely one flavor.
And people in the chat are going to jump on me for this, but it's one of the reasons that DC is in such a weird place at the moment as well. It's because when you base so much on alternative histories and alternative timelines and like, what if this had happened? And like, and let's go and have a series set here. What you lose is much more than what you gain. What you gain is you get an interesting look at an alternative history, but you lose something really important, and that is stakes. You lose any sense of meaning to events. Like, the events that happen don't have any weight and they don't have any consequences. And so the stakes are always super, super low. You go back and you look at how an alternate history of like Batman or whatever, there's no stakes there because who cares? Like, you know, you're not like, oh, I hope he survives this adventure, because who cares? We'll just look at another alternative history next week. Like, it doesn't matter. And like, those are interesting from kind of like character like exploration points of view and things like that, but from a sense of having like any long-term investment, they are suicide. And that's what would happen if you did that in WoW. We already have a system in WoW where you can do that. It's called the Caverns of Time. Like if you want to explore alternative histories or whatever, you can do it through the Caverns of Time, and you can still keep the stakes and the consequences and the importance of those things within the main universe, but still having a fun look back at like an alternative history via the Caverns of Time or something, or alternative futures for that matter. But to actually do it as a main thrust of an expansion and of a main thrust of a narrative, that's what WoW did. And it was horrible because no one cared. No one cared when Val died in WoW.
I'm gonna keep pushing you on this. So there's no examples of fiction losing quality by just continuing to go.
No, definitely. No, you're right. You're
High
right.
Walking Dead. You want to talk about a stakeless, fiction. Yeah,
that's a very good point as well. But like, that's something that can happen. Whereas like delving into alternate histories and realities and things is a guaranteed way to make it happen. Like I would argue, that keeping on going on is definitely a way that kind of loss of import and stakes and consequence can happen. But I would argue that alternate histories and stuff is a guaranteed surefire way to make it happen. Like, you know, would be my argument. And you're absolutely right. Of course, stuff goes on too long and stuff jumps the shark. And,
WoW's probably done that 2 or 3 times already.
And WoW has shown its willingness to kind of bring in new characters and like, you know, kill off characters and progress its universe in that way. And yeah, I think that's something it should always be looking to do, because that's how real life works. You know, I was just thinking about this the other day. We're hoping to move out of this flat soon. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm the only person that's ever lived in this flat. You know, but I've thought like this building's been here since the 19th century. Like hundreds of families have lived in this flat before now. And coming back at any point of time, this building would have been unrecognizable. And it's the same with Azeroth as well. And those things change in a very short space of time. People talk about there being no buildup and stuff to various story points, but that's not how real life works. Like Zappy Boy comes out of nowhere, as he should, you know? And like other characters come out of nowhere and other characters die with no buildup, just like they do in real life. And I'm fine with that. I'm okay with it.
Culture differences are wonderful. I love the idea of, oh, where I'm living has been here since the 19th century. It's not an experience I've ever had. It's not a perspective I have ever been given.
You want to get a 19th century house in London, mate. Trust me, because they are the perfect mix of being relatively new, but also like quite spacious.
There's a
like,
more rich spacious. History in the home that I live in. This home has stood since 1986.
Dude, I grew up in a village called the Mumbles outside of Swansea that had a literal like Viking, well, it was Norman, the actual building, but a Norman fort on a hill in the middle of the village, you know, like a 1,000-year-old fort in the middle of the village. And it was older than that, like in history, you know, and that was like just perfectly normal. We lived under the shadow of this castle.
I guess I operate more under like a Disney park level of marriage to history in the past. Now it's old, it's moldy, burn, like tear it down and start over.
It's redo. Great. It's like that great Izzard joke. It's like when they built Euro Disney, it was that thing of you might want to make these spires on that castle a little bit bigger because they've actually got them here.
Yes. Yes. I've particularly enjoyed that episode of the Imagineering docuseries on Disney Plus. Like, oh, we need to actually, we need to really try on this one. We need to push it.
And it's just great. It's like it's fantastic, but it just means, you know, you just gotta make sure that when you're moving into a new place, you gotta make sure it's got double glazing and stuff. Mm-hmm, it's fine. Mm-hmm. But
to answer your question, I really don't know where we go after the light and the void.
Hard, really. I mean presumably that expansion would then set up a meaningful, engaging kind of situation that we would then explore in future. Azeroth's Awakening is a good shout. Like some point, and that would get us back into type stuff, which I think by then you know, we're talking 11.0. I think we'd be ready for some Titan stuff again if we managed to stay relatively away from it in Shadowlands and Disco Ball.
Not Emerald Dream, literally, because I really just don't know how they would make it interesting, but something that is more nature-based, like a really nature-focused expansion. I don't know what form it takes.
Yeah, but Arden Wheel setting up some really interesting lore there. So, like, one of the interesting things about Shadowlands is that it gives the impression that so much of what exists on Azeroth and like what we kind of always assumed was Azeroth specific is actually the case across the universe. So, like, in Arden Wheel, there are pods, like regeneration pods, for wild gods and lower. You know, so that is where wild gods and lower go when they die. So presumably Razan is in there after his like misadventures in BFA, sort of very slowly regenerating. But one of the things that is established there is that these wild gods and lower, they are not just from Azeroth. They're from all over. And that's really interesting that those kind of things exist on different worlds. And so like maybe they have their own version of the Emerald Dream. You know, and world hopping Emerald Dreams could be quite fun, you know, and all things that could find their way into various situations, which I think is really interesting. You've got the fact that there's now loads of kind of like botany on Azeroth from WOD. And we there was a point in WOD where the botany were being built up as like the single biggest threat to Azeroth. You know, there's that that botany dungeon in WOD where literally if we hadn't stopped it, the whole of Azeroth would have been eaten by plants, you know. Like, you know, that's a huge threat. And now the thing that we did that dungeon to stop has happened. There are botany on Azeroth, and presumably that's not going to end very well. There are Sabron on Azeroth as well, I'm just saying, all from the Magar Orc.
If I ever have to grind reputation with a Sabar again, I will quit this game permanently.
Yes, seriously. So that's, again, that's like, there are like these strands all over the place, and they're introducing new strands as well all the time. So it's one of the things they always have to think about. I think Ian said in one interview years ago that they're essentially thinking like three expansions in advance at any one point, which I think is very interesting and kind of, after seeing how WOD and Legion and BFA and Shadowlands kind of link together, is something I definitely believe as well. So yeah, it's interesting. Super interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot of places it could go, and I'm sure we'll get some feedback from the listeners about where they think it will go. So I have a feeling, Tellius, we may revisit this topic on the next mailbag.
Oh, really? Okay,
just,
cool.
I'm calling my shot where the show is going, and hopefully, like Legion, we stick the landing.
Sounds good to me.
Sounds wondrous. Well, I think this is a great place to kind of wrap this up. This is a fun chat. And again, thank you to our listeners, because once again, this you know, wasn't a mailbag episode like the last one. We jumped around to a bunch of different topics, but this was very much inspired by you writing in to wowkillercast@gmail.com. So if you like the show, you want to be a part of it, you got a question or possibly a thought starter for an entire topic, write in wowkillercast@gmail.com. I also keep an eye on the Twitter @wowkillercast, and I keep an eye on the YouTube comments over youtube.com/wowkiller. So go check it out. All those places. The show is literally available anywhere you want it, except Netflix. You know, we tried. It seemed like they're taking all comers, but they haven't responded to my texts.
Cool.
So before we go, tell us, and if folks are somehow unaware of your other Warcraft content, where can everyone find you?
You can find us at Taliesin and Evertel Do Games on YouTube. You can find us at Taliesin and Evertel on Twitch. And you can find us at Taliesin Evertel on Twitter. But that's it.
You should go check it out. I'm a big fan. Mm-hmm. Folks, I'm Garrett Art on Twitter, amove.tv for this podcast and every single other damn one that I produce. Go check out The Angry Chicken for Hearthstone, Into the Nexus for Heroes of the Storm, and anything else you see pop up over at amove.tv. It's going to wrap it up.
I think it's really good this entire episode, Garrett, without talking about the dick hungry chicken once.
I agree. And until next time, stay hungry, chickens.